We're going to learn Maimer Hasidic discourse by the Friedrich Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, blessed memory. He actually wrote this discourse. It's actually a group of discourses, but we're going to learn one of them, the first one, in 1930. These discourses were actually written to celebrate Yud Beis Tammuz, the 12th of Tammuz, which is actually tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow, and the next day, which is a very special day for Chabad Hasidim, the liberation of the previous Rebbe, actually the one that wrote these discourses. And he wrote them to be learned in the 12th of Tammuz. Of course, we're not going to learn the whole thing in one class. It's not so long, but it's impossible just for one class. So it makes sense. In the 12th of Tammuz, tomorrow we're going to learn this, so it's good. The subject is the explanation of one phrase in the Talmud. That actually this phrase is many, many times misunderstood, what it really means. The phrase says, "Kol ha-mayrich be'echod ma'arichim lo yamo v'shnoisav." Every person that when he's reciting, actually we have to recite twice a day, in the morning and in the night, Shema Yisrael, which is a very short part in Parshas Vayeshanan. And actually it's interesting that also it also applies to Bnei Noach. There's a famous story by the Chido, that he was traveling in France and he found a person that was not Jewish. He stayed in the house of this person and he asked him, do you believe in the God of Israel? And he said, yeah. But he really, he checked a few times. And when he saw that it was really the proper behavior, he told him, you should recite the Shema Israel in the morning and in the afternoon. So it's something that applies also to Bnei Noach. So the phrase in the Talmud says, every person that actually makes long, ma'irich, from the word aroch, which means long, the echod, the word one of this phrase, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, if here Israel, God, our Lord is God is one, ma'irichin yamav v'shneisam, Hashem will make longer your days and your years. That's what it says. Based on this, many people recite the Shema in a non-proper way, actually wrong. Many, many Jews do this, and they say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, like making it very long, this is wrong. The proper way of saying it is just Echad. One is one, that's what it means. That's the proper way of pronouncing it. The Talmud says you should make it long. It means in thought. Think about it. What does it mean before you say the word, after you said the word, whatever the case it is, but don't pronounce the word in an improper way. Okay, so let's go to the Talmud and the discourse. Omar Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. The Talmud continues saying, "Said Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, uvedalet, you which part of the word echot one should you actually make longer? The dalet, the last letter. The arichus beechot tzricha liyos bedalet. This is the Rebbe explaining the Talmud." The making it long, the word echod one should be in the last letter dalet. Three letters, aleph, ches, and dalet. The dalet should be long. Om Ravashi ubilvat sheliach tuv ches. Yes, it's okay to make longer the dalet, but don't cut the letter ches. Don't cut it. Pronounce it. This is the Talmud. Bracho is Yud Gimel Amud Beis 13b. Tzrichim lehovin, asks the Rebbe, we have to understand, ma'u inyan arichus be'ech. What does it mean, actually, to make longer this word? For what purpose? Like the Talmud doesn't say. Ma'u arichus yamim v'shanim. And also, what does it mean that Hashem is going to give you more years, more days, more years? The mishu ma'arich be'ech, ma'arichin lo yamu v'shneisav. Any person that actually makes longer the word echad, Hashem is going to give you, God is going to give you more life. What does that mean? Why? The hine now, tevas echod ubas gimeloisius. The word echod actually has three letters, aleph, ches, and dalet. V'arichus ubedalet, and you have to make longer the last letter, the dalet. Ubilvat shlo yachtev gam ches, but you make sure you don't cut the ches. V'tzrichim lehovin. We have to understand, asked the Rebbe, ma'u arichus beadalet v'azaras shel Ravashi shlo yachtev ches. What does it mean? Even if you understand what it means to make longer the echo, the one, okay, but why precisely the letter dalet? And what does it mean, the being careful with the ches, don't cut it. מכל זה מובן, דה אריכוס והדלת הוא דווקא כשנוחת וחסס. From all of this, it's understood that you can only make longer the dalet as long as you do not cut the ches. That's why one phrase comes after the other. Ravashi talks about talks after Ravach about Yaakov, because they go together. So what does it mean? This is a general question. What does it mean? Hine, now. Maimar zeh dechol marich ve'echadum hemshech ha'braisa. This phrase of the Talmud is actually a continuation of a whole teaching. There's a longer teaching over here, which is called Braisa. Braisa means the teachings of the Mishnah that were left out of the Mishnah, of the times of the Mishnah that were left out. Tanu Rabban, our sages taught the following thing. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. This phrase again in Parshas Vayeschanan. Here, Israel, God, our Lord, God is one. Ad katzrichi kavan asaleif, divrei Rabbi Meir. Up to here, you need to have a proper intention, concentration in your heart. This is what Rabbi Meir says. This is the words of the Braisa. Omar Rove, says Rove, which is a later generation in the Gemara times. Halacha k'Rabbi Meir. Yes, what Rabbi Meir says goes. That's the law. That's the law. The first phrase, even though actually in the Torah, the text continues, but this is the most important part of this whole praise or whatever you want to call it, prayer, and you have to concentrate on the first phrase. That's the law. Behine. Now, according to this, the Rebbe just said, look, these words, this idea that I just shared about Rabbi Meir, the concentration, etc., this comes before the idea we just said in the beginning of the Maimar, of the discourse, you have to make longer the Echad also, etc. So we're talking about concentration. This is what Rabbi Meir says, like in a previous generation. That's the main teaching, concentration. In the first few words of this phrase, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, concentrate. And then comes Rav Acha bar Yaakov in a later generation, which really, really later, probably 300 years after Rabbi Meir, and says, you have to make longer the Echad also. Don't forget about this. This is part of the concentration, probably, that Rabbi Meir is talking about. That's why they're commenting on Rabbi Meir. This is what the Rebbe is like explaining by putting one thing after the other. Behine. Now, Yeshne Kavanas HaMoyach veKavanas HaLev. You have concentration of the brain and concentration of the heart. It's not the same thing. And Rabbi Meir is talking about Kavanas HaLev, concentration of the heart. Kavanas HaMoyach hi Hasag HaSichlis. Ma shemagi HaMoycho lehavin ulehasig inyan sichli. The idea of concentration of the brain means understanding something intellectually speaking, the fact that you come to understand with your mind and to grasp with your mind a concept, any concept, until you can say that you understand all the details of the concept. I really understand this idea. This means kavana samoyach. The concentration of the brain, so to speak, of the mind. That's on one hand. On the other hand, kavanas aleif, what does that mean? The idea of concentration of the heart. It's to bring the grasping, the good grasping, the good understanding that you had from potential to reality in good qualities. What does that mean? In a very simple way of understanding this, there's a whole, the Tanya talks about this in chapter 9, the Tanya explains like this, the way the emotions work is that they start in the brain, in the mind, by understanding a specific idea, but from the mind, they go down into the heart, and the heart doesn't really, quote-unquote, understands. The heart just works in once and it has strength, etc. However, the brain, the mind, is the one that focuses the heart to a specific thing. So in a very kitzur, summary, it works like this. First you understand clearly, details, and just intellectually speaking. Then you bring out a conclusion. this particular thing is good for me. That's called in Hasidus Bechein. Therefore, okay, now you understood a thing. And therefore, what are you going to do about it? Oh, that's called the Bechein. Therefore, this is good for me, this is bad for me, I'll get away from this, etc. To the point, there's an expression in Hasidus, Antloifun von Mavis. You run away from death. Because you understood that this is something so bad for you that you really run away from this. Okay, so first it's understanding. Then you bring out a conclusion, practical conclusion from that understanding. And that practical conclusion actually becomes, quote unquote, the brain of an emotion in your heart. In a way that you really start running away. Because one thing is to understand that you have to run away from this, and it's a completely different thing to actually run away from this. You only actually run away when the understanding comes down from the mind into the heart. This is what this line means. Lehovi asagasi ateva miakoyech lapoyel b'midas toivus. To bring this understanding, this good understanding that you had from potential into reality in good qualities. Behaino, that means the reish is avoidasaiti elach koirachar kol midaloi toiva. The beginning of your work, like spiritual work, is to find out, you have to really analyze every single not good quality that you have in your life. You have to really understand who you are. Umikol sheken, how much more so? Mida meguna, something really bad. Like you can have not good qualities and you can have bad qualities. You have to understand both. They're not the same. And what do you have to do with them? Le akra u le sharsha, you have to really uproot it, take it out from the roots. Asher bal tiroe u bal timotze. It should not be seen and it should not be found in yourself, within yourself. V'adar aloi toif, b'enim hu davar shebeinan ramakim, b'enim hu davar shebeinan rechaveiru. And this thing that is not good, that you found within yourself, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a thing between you and God or between you and somebody else. Ye Moses, like, should be actually disgusting for you. The idea of having something not good inside of you should produce on you a sensation of, I'm disgusted with myself. I don't like myself. This is not talking about self-esteem or not talking about actually a person that has self-esteem is able to look at himself and say, this quality, this trait that I have is not good. And a person that does not have self-esteem has to be very careful when analyzing yourself, because you can really go into depression. It's dangerous, very dangerous. So he's talking about a normal person. Any normal person, if really realizes that has something not good, is not going to be happy about it. A normal person, regular person. V'chol yigiyose, v'ishtadluse yelintoya be'asme midestoivis, v'yanagos yeshores. And all your efforts should be to plant in yourself good qualities, good traits, and good and righteous ways of behaving, righteous behaviors. V'zehu kavana saleif. And this is what it means, quote unquote, concentration of the heart. What does that mean? Don't translate kavana as concentration. Rather, translate lechaven es liboy, to focus your heart. It has to be directed to the proper behaviors. Because any one of us has in the heart, a normal person, drives. I like this, I like that. Drives are okay, are good. However, if you just leave the heart by itself, it applies the drive and the will in bad things, in eating, in whatever, drugs, whatever the case is. So you have to learn to lechaven es libo. You have to focus your heart to the good things. How do you do that? First, understand and realize that good things are actually good. Good traits are a good thing. Because you could say, no, I don't care about good traits. I'm going to steal. I'm going to kill. I don't care. Okay. You have wrong ideas in your mind. And if you have wrong ideas in your mind, certainly your heart is not going to be focused into proper behaviors. So that is what it means. Kavanas aleif, lechavenes libay. Why is it so important to focus at the heart into good traits? The liba pailik l'chayif, and this is in Aramaic. He's quoting from the Zohar, from the Gemara, from the Talmud. The heart spreads energy to all the members of the body. Lehavi kol mida toiva lepoyel mamish, to bring every single good trait into reality. Really. So if your heart is properly focused, so your behavior is going to be properly focused. And if your heart is, whatever, not focused or focusing wrong things, so you're going to be focused on wrong things, your life, your body, your everything. This is the explanation of what Rabbi Meir said. In order to have Kavanas Aleif, you have to understand what's Shema Yisrael, what is Amin Hashem, Elokein. Okay, we're going to learn this later. Behine, now. Amir as Shema Yisrael chulei echot, uyediyas veasagas achtus aboire baruch. How do we start? We explained that you start in the mind, and from the mind it goes into the heart to focus, to direct the heart into good traits. So that's what actually means Shema Yisrael. This here Israel, etc., is the knowledge and the grasping of what? The unity of God, of the Creator. Blessed be He. The Zeu Pirush Shema Yisrael. This is what it means actually, Shema Yisrael. People translate here, but here the translation is different. And not in a Hasidic way. I mean, in Talmud itself, the translation is different. Shema Yisrael, the Jew, like the Jew part of each person, Ishma, should listen, quote unquote, the Yovin, that's where he's translating and explaining, should understand the Yasig and grasp, Ki Avai Leikeinu, that God is our Lord. But what does it mean, the Israel part? What I mean is the regular, simple intellectual part of a human being, of a normal human being, understands that stealing is wrong, killing is wrong. Any normal person understands it. You don't need the Torah for this. You don't need B'nai Noach, you don't need anything for this. Just be a regular person. That's what I mean by the Israel part. Now, what does it mean to understand that Hashem Elokeinu, God is our Lord? So he explains, Elokeinu, our Lord, quote unquote, Aynu koicheinu v'chayeseinu hu avaya, that our strength, our life is God. That's what it means, Elokeinu. How he's going to explain this. Usually you translate, here Israel, God, our Lord, God is one. Okay, that translation is okay. But now we're going much, much deeper into understanding what are we really talking about. What we're saying is, you should understand, Shema, you should understand, Yavin, Havana, understand. And who should understand? The Israel part inside of each one of us, which means the part that wants to be connected to God, the part that wants to go beyond just being a regular person. I want more. I want to be connected. I want to feel God. I want to understand God. That part of your life should understand that you have a specific strength inside of you. What's your strength? Avaye. We don't know what it means yet. Okay, but God is our strength. Don't translate our Lord. No. Our strength. How can it be that you're translating the word Elokeinu, which means actually our Lord, like our strength? He explains. Dehine Shem Elokim Ulashon Koyach. The word Elokim means strength. This does not take out the regular and simple translation. It's just going deeper. That's all. Elokim means strength. How do you know? This is a verse in Yechezkel. Es eilei ha'aretz lakach. The strong people of the land he took. The king should take the strong people, etc. Now, you see the word eilei is the same shoyresh, the same root in Hebrew as the word elekim. Shemoyri al koyach v'choizek. This indicates strength and power. Elokim, okay, now we understood the word Elokim here refers to strength, okay? And the word Elokim, bigematria hateva. The word Elokim, when you add up the letters of the word, it comes out to 86. And hateva, the nature in Hebrew, also comes up to 86. That means that they're connected. Shebechol davar vedavar aretivo yukoichoi. What's the connection between strength and nature? The connection is that in every single thing, its nature is its strength. Each person, this applies to anything in the creation, but it's easy to see in a person. Each person has natural characteristics, natural traits, and is more more capable on certain things. Some people explain things very nice. Some people have very nice ideas. Some people just do. That's their strength. They do. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And they execute, so to speak. Okay. So that's your nature. That strength is your nature. You could go against your nature. You could improve. Okay, that's a different subject, so to speak. But your nature is your strength. What are you strong on? I do. I execute. You tell me what I do. Okay, that's fine. It's a strength. That's the nature. And we say, of course, when the Rebbe says we say, he's referring to Jews, we say that our strength is Avay. Whatever that means, the name of God of four letters. He's going to explain. The strength and the livelihood, the life of the Jewish people is Avay. The name of God, we don't know how to mention him. And to mention this name in four letters, etc. Again, he's going to explain. That means that which is beyond nature. Havaye represents hoyo, hoive ve'iye. He was, God was, is, and will be. That means goes beyond nature, beyond time, beyond space, etc. So what he's saying is, what's our strength? The fact that we can, in the matters of Torah and mitzvahs, go beyond our own nature. Our nature is go beyond nature. In other words, there is nothing that can stop a Jew from fulfilling a mitzvah. There are many things that can stop a Jew from flying, from buying houses, that's true, but from fulfilling a mitzvah, nothing can stop it. Nothing. The world was created for that. So nothing can stop it. That's what it's saying. Your nature is infinite. Was, is, and will be. The teva u'mugdar b'zman u'makom. The idea of nature is defined by time and space. The u'mugdar b'makom u'mugbal b'agbalotzo. Whatever thing is defined by space is limited to that definition. I'm here in Argentina right now, and I'm limited by that. Of course, I can't be somewhere else now. I'm here. So I'm limited to play to space. The same thing happens with time. Shemugbal beakbala de ha'ovar hoive ve'osit. The time is limited and defined by the limitations of past, present, and future. Ve'avaye, but this name of God of four letters, which is not Avaya, I'm just referring to this name with this word that doesn't mean anything, it's just a reference. God, in this expression of his name, he was, is, and will be all at the same time. It's beyond space and beyond time. And that's what it means when we say that God, this infinite expression of God, is Elokeinu, is our strength. In clear words, the ateva de Yisraelu, the nature of a Jew. What is the nature of a Jew? The behakbalas de zmanu makoim yamshichu ha'or ve'agilu shelemaila mezmanu makoim. In the within the limitations, living as regular human beings, so to speak, in places, in times, etc., etc., with the limitations of time and space, we should project a light, a revelation, a godly revelation that is beyond space and time. In other words, what does that mean? Every single mitzvah, every single commandment that a person fulfills brings down a revelation of God. We will see this revelation when Mashiach comes speedily in our days. Right now we don't see this, but this is the system. We bring down this energy. Now, this energy, because our nature is beyond time and space, this energy, we bring it down within time and space. In other words, when a person fulfills a commandment, he is projecting into the world a godly revelation that transcends the time and the space. In other words, simpler words, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter when, you should actually fulfill exactly the same mitzvahs with the same rules and the same way. It doesn't make any difference. Just a small parenthesis before going on, moving forward. The Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, was in jail just in the whole story in 1927 of Yud Beis Tammuz, Gimel Tammuz 12 and 13 of Tammuz. He was in jail just because he taught Judaism in Russia, in communist Russia. Just because of that. And one of the, there are so many stories about this, but one of the ideas he wrote down afterwards a diary of what happened to him. It's amazing. The diary, it's amazing. It's painful. It's very sad. But the point is that in the diary he writes, one of the first things that he made a strong resolution within himself, I am not going to be affected by these people, by the Russians, and they were trying to, they actually tortured him to bring out information. He had information of all the Jews in Russia that were doing, teaching Judaism, and he had an amount of information that the Russians wanted. That's why they didn't kill him, because otherwise it's very easy. You just shot the person and you killed him. That's it. No more Rebbe, no more nothing. No, they wanted information. This guy is full of information. They tried everything. They couldn't get a drop of anything, nothing. And one of the things is, again, the previous Rebbe writes, I made a strong resolution. I am not going to be affected by these people. I don't care about them. They don't exist. To the point, you can imagine, the whole Russian government against one person, and he didn't care. They put guns on him, they smacked him, all kinds of things. He didn't care. Even when he was being liberated, the day he was liberated, the rule in the Russian jail was that when he had to give an information to a prisoner, the prisoner had to stand up. Because this showed, we are in charge over here, and you're nothing. And they went into the jail, into the place where the Rebbe was, and they told him, stand up. He said, no, I'm not standing up. Stand up. A few times, they smacked him, all kinds of things. He didn't stand up. Until another person came and said, Rebbe, they're liberating you. Like, you can go away. Not even in that case, he didn't stand up. He received the notice. Sitting, I'm not going to yield to anything you say. You don't exist to me. And he said these things to the Russians, and they couldn't understand it. They couldn't take it. Okay, so that's what he's saying over here. That in any place and in any time, what's the nature of a Jew? Beyond nature. That's the strength of a Jew, beyond nature. Now, second chapter. This knowledge and grasping, this idea that the strength of a Jew is infinite, etc., in all matters regarding Torah mitzvahs, of course, that our strength and our life is avaya, which is beyond time and space. In order to get to this, you have to meditate. And what's the content of the meditation? That Avaye Echot. He continues with the text of the Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Avaye Elokeinu, Avaye Echot. That's what you have to think about to realize the first part of the verse, that Avaye Elokeinu, that our strength is, our nature, and our strength is beyond nature. Okay, so what's the meditation? Very nice. The Torah says, Avaye Echot. But it's like, explain something so I can meditate on it. So it's going to bring a whole long explanation. Echot pirush hu einar. The explanation of the word echot means one, einar. Kimo yochit, like yochit, pirushoi einzig, unique. It's two different words. Einar means one. Like, einar funzei, one of you, do this or that. But Yochid means the unique. What's the difference? You're telling me it's the same thing, but it's actually not the same thing. The difference between these two words, one or unique, is the following. The unique means that, essentially speaking, it's just one. It's the unique. There's never going to be a second, because this is unique. A unique thing means actually there's nothing else just like this. It's unique, like every single human being is unique. But the word one, on the other hand, means that the oneness is actually, you can realize it, you can understand it from the details of all the creations in the world. What is he going to say? He's going to explain clearly, but the idea is like this. You can look at the world and see multiple things. Actually, it's a verse in Tehillim. Marav Maaseh Hashem, Magodol Maaseh Hashem. How multiform are your creations, Hashem? How big are your creations, Hashem, etc. So you look at the world, you understand the world, you meditate on the greatness of the world, and that is going to allow you to understand the greatness of Hashem. That's fine. That's one way of understanding Hashem. But then there's another way of understanding Hashem, completely different, to think about the infinity of Hashem. When you think about the world, you think about how Hashem actually creates the world. He's within the world. It's okay, you think about Hashem, but it's limited to what you understand from the world. However, when you think about how Hashem is infinite, you're going beyond the world. That brings you to a completely different feeling. Not that Hashem is one. That means within the world, He is the life force of each, everything, single thing in the world. No. He's infinite. Is everything. That's Einar. That's, I'm sorry, Einzig. That's the unique. As he's going to explain. That means like this. The Al-Yedeya is born in Zavaye Echod. Through the meditation of God is one. In Al-Yedei Zeba, in Lidei Akara, Zude Avaye Lekeinu. Through this meditation, you come to the realization that Avaye, which means an infinite expression of God, is Elokeinu, is our strength. As he explains, our strength and our life force is Havaye, infinite, Vinken. If this is so, all of this was a preparation for a question. If this is so, now that we understand really what it means, Kavanas Amoich and Kavanas Aleif, concentration of the brain, of the mind, concentration of the heart, Hare Yamiras Shema Yisrael, Ukavanas Amoich. According to all of this that we said, the saying, Shema Yisrael, that phrase is actually concentration of the mind. You have to meditate. And God is one and unique. And then blah, blah, blah. The whole creation. Yeah, very nice. That's mind. Why did Rabbi Meir say that this phrase, you have to concentrate your heart into it? What is Rabbi Meir saying? Before we thought, Rabbi Meir is saying you have to think about this. Don't just say the words, understand it, oh, very nice. But no, wait a second. Rabbi Meir is saying something deeper than this. Deeper than this. Lehovin ze, in order to understand what Rabbi Meir is actually saying, why are you relating the Shema Yisrael, which is a very intellectual thing, a very deep thing, intellectually speaking, why are you saying that this has to do with the heart? This is the question. In order to understand this, what's the relationship with the heart? First, you have to understand what it means, one. The word one. It's written in the beginning of the creation, in the Torah, it was the night, it was the day, and light, I mean, night and light, one day one. That's what it says, day one. Day yom echot. That means that one day, shekolul me'erev u'boiker, dak. It's comprised of two things, night and day. That's a day. Like 24 hours, yeah, 12 hours of night, 12 hours of day, so and so. The numbers doesn't really matter right now. The Chavdal Shaw is a yom, he says it right now. Chavdal Shaw is a yom, hen yud beis shaw is a layla, bit beis shaw is a yom. The 24 hours of the day, you have 12 of night and 12 of day. And we call night when it's dark and day when it's light. Then you have one day. The Ageder Hayoim, ushehu mukdar beis beagdaras de erev uboiker. The definition of a day, again, 24 hours, is that is defined and limited to night and day. That's what it means, a day. She'erev yi koidem leboiker, and that the night comes before the morning. That's why the verse says, "Vayerev vayei boiker," first the night and then the morning, the day, whatever, the light. Ve'ainut shebichedei sheyei boiker oir sarich li istchila erev. That means that in order to have, this the Talmud says also, it's not a Hasidic thing, in order to have light, morning light, whatever, you need first darkness. First you mean darkness. Always keep in mind the context that Rebbe is given a discourse, a Maimar, for celebrating his liberation. And his in his imprisonment, he had so many problems and so many difficulties and pain, etc., etc. He's saying, first you have to go through that in order to come to the morning. Through working at night, quote unquote, with your difficulties and challenges, etc., etc. Through this, you're going to reach the light of the morning. Right, by working on the night parts that you have inside of you. Like he said before, that a person has to realize which good traits he has, which bad traits he has, etc. So work on them. By working on them, you can ask yourself, God, why didn't you make me like a good guy? From default, I want to be a good guy. Why should I have so many difficulties? I get angry at this and I scream at my wife and I do this and I do that. Make me a good guy. I don't want to work so much. Okay, wait a second. By you working on those traits, you're going to really be a good guy. That's basically the context behind it. The reason for this is like this. First, this is the Midrash. The Rebbe is called the Midrash. The first, God thought. It actually came up in the thought of God to create the world with severity. Din. But God saw that the world would not support such a thing. So God put together, he associated together with the din, with the severity, rachamim, mercy. Okay, like the Talmud says, actually in the same place, brachos, that the Rebbe quoted before. But just in the beginning, at the beginning you have darkness, and then you have light. So you have to go through the darkness in order to really come to the light and appreciate the light. That's the way the world was created, actually. That's why our lives go like that, because the world was created like that. At the beginning it says, that in, again, just a very simple translation. I'm not going into the deepness of the translation. No, don't care right now. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means, very simple idea, that the creation of the worlds, not just this physical world, but all the spiritual worlds also, in actuality, was through this name called Elohim, this name of God, that expresses, as he said now, shehu midas adin, ve'atzimtzum, expresses severity, contraction. Bereisha hashoicha, at the beginning you have darkness. Ve'achar kach, and later the Torah itself says, be'yom asas avay elekim erez v'shamayim. The Torah itself says that there was a day that two names of God created the heavens and the earth, the earth and the heavens, I'm sorry. Shehu hadar ne'oira, that means there's later light. So this, he's only bringing a proof to the concept that he said before, like a very simple proof. So from the verses, from the Midrashim, like this is a known thing, so to speak, very simple known thing, that God created, first of all, Rashi brings it also in his commentary, first he created with severity, the world wouldn't stand it, and he mixed in, associated mercy. First darkness, then light. But that, don't forget where it came from. That's the definition of one day. That means it has to be both things. You can't just have light. Now, what do you mean light? When does it become dark? that there are places very north, very far north, almost no darkness. Okay? But whatever. You need both things. Otherwise, you don't have a day. You need both. That's what he's saying right now. And in order to really have light, you need, first of all, darkness. Both things are important. Both things, they have to be there. Now he's going to explain this in a more deeper way. It's written, it's a psalm. Shemesh u'magen, the sun and the covering of the sun, the shield of the sun, Havai Elokim, are these two names of God expressed by these two names of God, or these two names express that idea, whatever. The sun and the covering, the shield, Havai is expressing the sun. That doesn't mean that the sun is God. The sun is not God. It's just an expression, which means light, infinite, etc. And Mogen, shield, means darkness, means constriction. The Abeis, Shmoi Savai Ashnei, Shmoi Savai Elokim, these two names, Havaye and Elokim, Shewa Teva, Ulemala Meateva, as he explained before, that is, they represent nature, and that which is beyond nature. Okay, Dugmas Hashemesh, Shumogen Hashemesh. It's just like the sun and the shield of the sun. The Hinei Ze, Mashianu Roi Mes Hashemesh. The fact that we see the sun, Aloy Anu Roim Rakes Amogen, but Nartik, isn't it that we actually see the shield of the sun? We don't see the sun itself. Shemechasi al Moir Hashemesh. This shield actually covers the luminary of the sun. This is a small parenthesis. It's not in the Maimer, of course, but it's just a model of understanding an idea. It doesn't mean that the sun actually has a shield, or it doesn't mean that actually we're seeing the shield. No, it's just a model. It's just a way of understanding. You could say that the shield is actually the atmosphere. You could say that the shield is actually what you see from the sun, but the sun is a whole ball full of helium and whatever, all the gases and things. So you don't see that. You see fire. Okay, say the fire is the shield. It doesn't really matter. It's not a class on astronomy. It's a class on Hasidus. So you have these two things. You don't see the essence of the luminary of the sun. You see how the sun actually shows himself to you, or itself to you. That's what it calls. It's called the sun and the shield. The Ma'or Hashemesh Atzma Lo Yihaya B'Sharus Ha'Olam Ha'Nivra Lekav Lo Yirei V'Zivoy. The luminary of the sun itself, it was impossible for the world and the creations to receive it, its light, its rays. And only through this covering of the shield, through this, we can actually receive it, and it can actually be beneficial for the world, etc. As it's written in the Torah also, Mimeget Vois Shomesh, Mimeget Gereshirachim, from the produce, the sweetness of the produce of the sun, and the sweetness of the produce of the moon, Imken, being so, Areya Pehula Ba Me'etzem HaShemesh, the activity itself, the light and the heat, etc., comes from the essence of the sun itself. However, in which way? That it hides itself, this sun, this light, in the shield, in order that it should be received and be able to actually do its work, so to speak, its job. Which this idea sounds, it could sound strange, it's the sun and the shield, I don't get it. It's very simple, actually, very simple. When a teacher has to give a class, the teacher has to think, according to what the class is, what are you going to say and what are you going not to say? Because the class can't take it, it's too much. If you want to teach first graders very complex things in mathematics, forget it, it's impossible. So you better don't say it, even though it's true when it exists. Yeah, but don't say it, it's going to confuse people. But don't say it. This is exactly what's going on. There's a light that would be the ideas in the teacher's mind of so deep things in mathematics and etc. etc. Okay, he's a great mathematician, but that's nice. But don't show it now. Don't say it now, because the kids can't understand it, can't get it. They're going to be confused. That's the shield. Within the teacher himself has to be a shield to know what to show and what not to show. what to say and what not to say. This is exactly what's going on over here. So there's a sun and there's a shield. Okay.